If you only had 24 hours to live and you had to teach your son or sons everything you learned about being a man, from life to love, money to marriage, people to porn, and everything in between, what lessons would you teach him? Well, when my son was only 12 years old, I wrote a book for him I wanted to leave behind as my legacy. It's called Are You the Man? 201 Lessons I Wish My Dad Would Have Taught Me. And I squeezed all of those lessons on manhood into just 124 pages. The lessons I share in this book not only come from my successes in life, but many of them also come from my painful and even shameful failures, including divorce, abuse, addiction, adultery, and abandonment, just to name a few. You can read and learn in less than 2 hours what it took me over 30 plus years to learn the hard way. So just go over to areyoutheman.com and get your copy today. That's areyoutheman.com. Trust me, your wife and children will thank you for it later. Hello, mighty men of God. Joe Martin here, man builder, award-winning speaker, author, and Tanya's husband and Kendall and Faith's dad. Welcome to the Real Men Connect podcast, where we help good men become great men God's way. Every Wednesday, we interview some of the nation's most respected and accomplished men of faith to find out what it really takes to become the kind of husband, father, and spiritual leader God called and created us to be. Today is the Real Men Check-In. The Real Men Check-In is just a quick way to help you start your week on the right foot in the right way. Every Monday, I share personal insights, encouragement, and support that will move you beyond church to real change. I keep it short, I make it fun, and then I'm done. So let's get started. Real men accept the truth even when it's not convenient. Let me say that again. Real men accept the truth even when it's not convenient. Allow me if I can, I want to share a poem with you that I wrote. It's called My Skin, Your Skin. My skin is dark, much darker than yours. But does that make me any less of a man? Your skin is light, much lighter than mine, and maybe that's why you don't seem to understand. Yes, you point your finger, but I point back because it's much easier to blame you than me. See, what I see is what you see, but we still don't seem to agree. Now, you say forgive and forget. I say pay back your debt, bro. Your hate is part of my past. I won't love you, so how can you possibly love me? So how long will this bleeding last? So I stand to blame, you stand accused. Does it really matter who's right or wrong? You play to win, but so do I. So yes, I guess this war will continue on. See, my skin is dark, much darker than yours. It's not a question of who has the upper hand. Your skin is light, much lighter than mine. So maybe it's time for both of us to take a stand. I told you I wrote that poem, but what I didn't tell you is that I wrote it when I was only 13 years old. That's right, you heard me. I wrote that 38 years ago when I was 13 years old. And it was shortly after the race riots had erupted in my neighborhood of Liberty City in Miami, Florida. It was my response after I had witnessed one of the most traumatic experiences of my life. I watched an innocent white man get murdered in broad daylight at the hands of an angry mob. And as a child who had experienced racism and racial slurs based solely on the color of my skin, even as a child after witnessing that murder, I had more questions than answers. Why was this happening? How could this happen? What's wrong with the world? What am I supposed to do about all of this? Where is God in all of this? And 38 years later, although I've gotten more answers, I'm no less confused and perplexed now than I was then. Because we actually know so much more now than we ever knew back then, but yet we're still repeating the same sins. I often say we all think it's great to be more like Christ until it's inconvenient, meaning until we have to love difficult people, until we have to forgive people who've hurt us, until we have to experience injustice, until we have to endure suffering for our faith, and even until it costs us something that we're not willing to lose. And I call this convenient Christianity. Now, the truth is, we can't choose to be, think, and act like Christians only when it's convenient to us. But rather, we need to be, think, and act like Christians, especially when it's inconvenient, and especially when it seems unpopular to a lost and dying world. Think about it. Do you find yourself seeking God's approval or man's acceptance? Are you obeying God's commands, or you find yourself spending more time trying to convince others? Are you waiting for God's applause or man's agreement? Refuting lies or avoiding conflict, especially when it comes to the topic of racism. When it comes to race, I don't know about you, but it seems everyone wants to know what side of the issue that you stand on. But I tell them I stand on God's side, not man's side or even my own side.
That means I graciously stand against and I faithfully stand for what Jesus Christ sacrificially died for, which was sin and reconciliation. Every first Tuesday in our ministry, our men get together for something called Brothers Keepers. It's something I created. It's a monthly, what I call man formational meeting, where we talk about topics most churches and men's groups try to avoid, but we don't avoid them at all. We tackle them head on. And we met earlier this week to talk about our response as Christian men and what it should be to racism in a world that is more concerned about man's agenda rather than God's plan and purpose. In doing that discussion, I shared 9 unpopular truths concerning racism, not according to my beliefs, but according to God's word. And I want to share those with you on this week in the Real Men Check-In. Let's start with unpopular truth number 1. Most people we meet aren't racist, but every person we meet is prejudiced to a certain degree about something other than race. Now, let me see if I can explain this to you. See, it's easy to blame the evil that men do, especially when it comes to race, on racism. But most of the time, a lot of our wicked and evil actions aren't driven by hate and feelings of superiority towards a race of people, which is racism, but more so out of our ignorance about other people based on our prejudices. See, out of a lack of knowledge, we often judge people based on how they look other than their race. I'm talking about their appearance, based on their age. We judge people based on how they dress. We judge people based on their level of what we consider their attractiveness, how much money they make, the kind of attitude that they display, their achievements and accolades and awards, the way they sound, in other words, their accent, what kind of car they're driving, what part of town they live in. And this is just to name a few, which leads to unpopular truth number 2. Being prejudiced doesn't automatically make you a racist. Now, let me say that again. Being prejudiced doesn't automatically make you a racist, because if that's true, then we're all racist. And since we're obviously not all racist and most of us just naive and ignorant, that leads to unpopular truth number 3. Racism is not a skin problem. It's a sin problem rooted in the hearts of man. So unpopular truth number 4 is most people are not racist. They're just ignorant. They don't know any better. Most people are not racist, they're just angry or aggravated and frustrated with their situation. Most people are not racist, they're just afraid and they feel insecure. Most people are not racist, they're just closed-minded because they only believe what they see and hear on television, which leads to unpopular truth number 5. Racism is really ignorance rooted in emotionalism that is used as a convenient tool to justify fears and insecurities when it comes to people who don't look, sound, or act like we do. Now, I think that's worth repeating. I'm gonna see if I can do it again. Racism is really ignorance rooted in emotionalism that is used as a convenient tool to justify fears and insecurities when it comes to people who don't look, sound, or act like we do. And that leads to a very unpopular truth that most may decide to unsubscribe to this podcast after I share it. And that's unpopular truth number 6. Yes, Black lives do matter, but according to God's word, fathers matter even more. Now, let me say that again. Yes, Black lives do matter too, but according to God's word, fathers matter even more. Now, if you ask the average person, what will it take to combat racism? Very few people, if any, will ever point to addressing the father problem in America and the lack of discipleship and disciple making as being a good place to start. Do you know at the end of the Old Testament, the last statement written in the Bible in Malachi 4:6 is this, "And I will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse and destruction." Now think about that for a second. That's the last word that God gave us. And then there was a 400 year gap until the New Testament was introduced. And let me go back to what that scripture says. Malachi 4:6 says, "And God said, I will turn the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, so I will not come and smite the land with a curse and destruction." Now think about that for just a minute. How many men or women who you know are vandalizing, looting, and physically harming others were discipled by good, God-fearing, God-honoring fathers? How many men or women cops do you know are abusing their authority and racial profiling and victimizing citizens were discipled by good, God-fearing, God-honoring fathers? How many men or women fellow officers or bystanders do you know would have just stood by and witnessed evil and not intervened, they were discipled by good, God-fearing, God-honoring fathers. And how many of your children are vandalizing, looting, physically harming, hating people because of the color of their skin, and supporting the brutality and mistreatment of others? Now, are you starting to get the point? See, if you show me fatherless families, I'll show you a fatherless or godless nation, which means we must cry out to God in humility and brokenness. God says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Think about it. A man who honors and fears God will always think twice about harming you. And when evil men or even well-intentioned men harm us based on the color of our skin, whether you're black or white, we have to remember unpopular truth number 7. This isn't just about race. It's more about God's grace and how much we need it as men in our response to others. Now, I think I need to repeat that one again. This isn't just about race. It's about God's grace and how much we need it as men in our response to others. Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:8 and 9, finally, all of you have unity of mind, be sympathetic, love as brothers with a tender heart and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or insult with insult, but with blessings instead. For you were called for this very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. That means we can't allow our personal rights to trump God's righteousness or we'll forfeit our blessings. You have to ask yourself, do I want to receive God's eternal reward or do I want to forfeit that reward to demand my temporary rights? Which leads to unpopular truth number 8. Our feelings are consistently being tempted by the enemy. But our faith is always being tested by God, and He expects us as Christian men to pass the test. Which leads to the 9th unpopular truth. God expects us to have righteous anger, not self-righteous rage. And our righteous anger should never be at the expense of us demonstrating His love and concern for the lost. Let me say that again. God expects us to have righteous anger, not self-righteous rage. And our righteous anger should never be at the expense of us demonstrating His love and concern for the lost. See, even in our anger, we should not sin. Instead, we need to glorify God. In our protesting, in our social media posts, in our response to disagreeable people, in our response to the police, in our response to our past hurt and trauma, in spite of our political views, we need to honor Him and glorify Him. In spite of our current pain and grief, in spite of our persecution and our pride and our prejudices, and we need to glorify Him in spite of who our president is or isn't. Why? Because real men accept and walk in the truth of God, even when it's not convenient to himself or man. So that's the Real Men Check-In for this week. I hope that it blessed you. And if you found it helpful, please share this episode with other men who you may be mentoring or discipling. And make sure you check out our regular weekly interviews on Wednesdays. And to make sure you don't miss an episode, please visit our website at realmenconnect.com and join our growing community of real men. We also have a couple of free gifts waiting just for you. And you know, I always love sharing our podcast reviews with our listeners because one, they are a blessing to me. And I hope that they encourage and inspire you. And I pick them at random, so who knows, if you submit a podcast review, I may read yours on the air. And this one is from J.S. Jones. And J.S. Jones writes, I've been on my walk with the Lord for a little over a year now, and it was a spirit-filled encounter, and I've known what I'm supposed to do, but I didn't know how to do it. This podcast has answered a lot of my how-tos and how to do it when it comes to walking in Christ. Thank you for this magnificent podcast. And thank you, J.S. Jones, for that great 5-star review on iTunes. And like I said, please, if you submit your podcast review, who knows, I may end up reading yours on the air because they're such a blessing to me. And if you didn't know, Real Men Connect is a listener-supported podcast. And we're now the number one radio podcast on iTunes for Christian men. So if this podcast has blessed you in any way, and you'd like to help us continue to bless and transform the lives of even more husbands, fathers, sons, and leaders, please prayerfully consider financially supporting this ministry. Just go over to realmenconnect.com and click on the donate button. And may God bless your faithful giving. And thank you so much for listening, because without you, there would be no Real Men Connect. So keep on downloading, subscribing, and reviewing and sharing us with the world. So until next time, I'm Joe Martin with realmenconnect.com, reminding you that we are males by birth, but we are men by choice. So each and every day, choose to be the man God called and created you to be. Because a male is a terrible thing to waste. So until next time, stay strong, stay blessed, and as always, stay in God's grip.
Thank you for listening to the Real Men Connect podcast with Dr. Joe Martin. Real Men Connect isn't just a podcast, it's a mission. ministry, and movement to help good men become the great men God called and created us to be. And the best is yet to come. So if you enjoyed this episode, go ahead and leave us a review in iTunes. It really helps us to build the podcast and to reach, teach, and impact more men, all for the glory of God. And make sure you check out realmenconnect.com to get our free tools and resources to help you go from good man to great man God's way. Again, that's realmenconnect.com. Thank you for listening. We'll see you in the next episode.